Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Can we just wave our hands and in 1 minute tell the Lord how faithful he has been? Tell him how faithful he has been. Tell him how faithful he has been. Go ahead and tell him how faithful. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Command your soul to bless the Lord. And David said, forget not his benefits. Forget not his benefit. In Jesus' gracious name. Let's be seated. Hallelujah to Jesus. Briefly, because of our time, we want to talk about a theme that's quite unique. The harvest is plenteous. Amen. We'll start from Matthew 9:37. Lord, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. May we never lose a wonder. Lord, may we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. Wide-eyed and mystified, may I be just like a child, staring at the beauty of my King. I will never lose my wonder. 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 For you are beautiful in all your ways. You are beautiful. Sing, I will never, I will never. You know what that song means? Hallelujah to Jesus. Let me give you an idea. Matthew 24 from verse 12. I was preparing for this meeting and this scripture came to my heart. I don't know how we are going to connect it with everything we want to say, but we'll just trust God. The Bible speaks about how that lawlessness will abound in the last days. And that the love of many will be what? Will grow old. It will wax cold. So in other words, when you see people's commitment to God and His work getting cold, what is the reason for it? And if you look at the scripture before this, it's amazing how that the Bible says it is because of the false teachers that have entered into the world. Let's see verse 10. It says, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Are we in Matthew 24? From verse 11. He said, then many false prophets will what? Rise up and deceive many. Give me the TPT rendition. I want it to be more elaborate. Many lying prophets will what? Arise. And deceiving what? So do you see people will rise up. Satan will inspire people to rise up and begin to teach falsehood. Are we together? You begin to teach falsehood. You begin to teach falsehood on the earth. And that way, the conviction of a lot of people will begin to weigh down. It will begin to weigh down. You know, is it 2 days ago, I saw something on the internet, on Facebook. It was a pastor trying to share how that smoking is not a sin. And that drinking alcohol is also not a sin, but that the Bible said we should drink and not be drunk. And people were cheering him. People were clapping. And he said some words like this. He said, I know I'm distorting some of your religious beliefs, but don't worry. It is the Holy Spirit that is speaking. And I shook my head. He made a statement at the middle of his teaching. He said, smoking destroys an individual, but smoking is not a sin. He said, but it has the potency to destroy an individual. And I smiled. Because that is speaking from sincere ignorance. And the reason why a lot of times people will not catch this is because of pride. How you know that a fall is close, the signal is pride. Follow carefully. And a lot of people were cheering because they probably were drinking and probably smoking. So they were cheering the pastor. You know, the Bible says in the last days, many will rise up with itchy ears, looking for somebody to say what they want to hear. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. It is very difficult to stand for the truth or to speak the truth when you are a victim of what you are speaking against. It is very, very difficult. You don't find many people that do that. You know, many years ago I said, while we were in the barracks, I remember some few brethren who were older than us that would find younger people smoking and beat them up for smoking, but they were smoking themselves. One day I just sat down, I was thinking about it, and I said, those guys have good hearts. Amen? They were smokers, but if they catch younger people smoking, they will beat them for smoking. I make statements like this. Do you think I like what I'm doing? My friend, if I catch you again. So you don't find a lot of people like that. Are we together? But you know, somehow he arrested himself because the Bible said the enemy has come but to what? To what? And to what? Meaning, according to the calculation, whatever steals from you is not from God. It is from who? Whatever kills you is not from God. It is from who? Whatever destroys you is not from God. It is from who? So, Bible wrote, see, God covered everything in the scriptures. You know, the problem is that they are waiting for a direct statement on tablets of stone. He said, I will put a new law in the hearts of my people. It will be in their hearts. When you read scriptures, your eyes is open. You know, the Bible said this in Hebrews 5. Let's see Hebrews 5 from verse 12. Hebrews 5. So you understand how discernment works. I don't know if the TBT will do justice to this, but it said, for you should already be professors instructing others by now. But instead, you need to be taught from the beginning the basis of God's prophetic oracles. Here Paul the Apostle is speaking about some certain brethren in church that were misbehaving. They were old in church. You know, for instance, in our present day, if we were to compare, they are old in church. They're like 2 years, 1 year, 5 months, thereabout in church, but they don't have a department in church. They are not responsible for anything in church. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You see? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Nobody's trying to. Many people are not replying. If your neighbor is not answering me, your neighbor is a victim. Just tap the neighbor and say, answer, pastor. They are quite old in church. They are not responsible for the move, for the advancement of the kingdom. In any way, they just feel like when they come to church and sit in church and just smile in church and just feel the seat, you know, and just give their offerings, they are good to go. You know, one time, one man told us here, he said, I will not be there, but I will be there. I said, what do you mean? He said, I will not be there, but I will send something. My money will be speaking. You know, some of us, we may not be there, but we will be sending our money. And I said, God doesn't want your money more than he wants you. He wants you before your money. Tell your neighbor that I want to go. God wants you before your money. If you are not a sincere pastor, you will buy into the idea. I say, no problem, sir. Your money can be coming. If you like, go to hell. But that's not true. God wants you before your money. You are most important to God. The Bible says, what can a man offer in what? Exchange of his soul. Nothing in this world. You cannot use money to replace your presence. Are we together? So Paul is speaking about this kind of people. He says, for you should already be professors. Meaning some of you should be professors in certain departments in this church. Because you have stayed too long instructing others by now. But instead, they are still inviting you to come to church. They are still reminding you. HOD is still calling you on Sunday morning. Where are you? Now we are talking about the great harvest. If people are not this structured, how can the great harvest happen? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? If they are still reminding you that being in church all this while, to be dedicated to church, that's number one. Number two, to be disciplined in your department. They are begging you to be disciplined. You don't attend Bible studies. You know there are people like that. We created a system and said, during the week, we know Satan will be trying every day. The Bible said, the enemy is like a what? Looking for people to devour every day. He wants to devour you. Even if you look demure, what do they call it? Demure. He still wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your life. So we now create, by the Spirit of God, we created a strategy and say, within the week, we are not sure these people are reading their Bible every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And it is true. A lot of people don't read their Bibles. A lot of people don't pray. We say, within the week, somehow let's steer the Word of God in their hearts. By a Bible study. Is that true? And we created it. Now, there are some people that do not attend it. You beg them to attend it. How childish are you? How can God ever think of using you? Listen, it's not some joke. You are the last person on earth God wants to use. He rather uses a donkey. I hope you know that God used donkey in scripture instead of people. Yes, he did. Now, I'm not trying to insult you, but you see, you must grow up as a child of God. There are certain, when you stay too long without growing up, even Jesus will be angry with you. He talked to the disciples.
They couldn't heal a man. They brought the guy was epileptic. When they saw the reaction, they said, "See, go and see our master. Don't tell him we're the one that sent you. Just pretend that you didn't see us." When they went there, the man reported them. When the man went there, he said, "I went to your disciples. They are the ones that said they cannot heal, that I should come and meet you." Jesus did not heal the guy first. He took the man with the guy to the disciples. He said, "Oh, you foolish." He was so angry with them. He said, he was mad at them. He rebuked them. He said, "How long will I be with you? How long?" That was 3.5 years already. Jesus was with them for 3 years and he was expecting them to do that kind of miracles. To heal an epileptic. And some of us have been in church for more than 3 years. Yet they are still reminding you that you should come for meeting. They are still telling you that you should be in Bible study. Meaning if Jesus catch you, he will do the same thing he did to the disciples to you. He will shout on you and rebuke you. You know, sometimes people feel like the rebuke you get in church is too harsh. Jesus is love. He's always looking at you with milk in his hand to feed you when you misbehave. Who told you that? You know, Jesus is always good, but he was not always kind in scriptures. He was always good. Even while he was not kind, he's still good. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you know Jesus is still good when he flogged people in the temple? Do you know Jesus is still good when he told Pharaoh, "You are a fox"? Are you people here tonight?
Yes, sir.
He's still good. Do you know I'm still good when I tell you, if I catch you operating your phone, like some of you are looking at your phone now, I'll send you out.
Yes,
you know, I sent somebody out in church one time. The person will go and announce that I'm not a good person. But me, I know I'm good. And maybe one or two of you believe I'm good. It's true. When Jesus flogged people with... What were they doing? Bazaar? Sorry, they were doing selling in church. Jesus took Cain. He took Cain. And flogged the hell out of their life. You know, Jesus... that's why sometimes when some of these street guys see us manifest, they are surprised. Is this not Prophet Simon? Look at what Jesus did. One man army. The Bible says when he was flogged, even the disciples were shocked. They were just watching. They did not join him. Only him scattering. People were running. To show you that he came in one. Not even an Agbero can stand him at that point. Are you here tonight? And when he was done, it is the same Jesus that looked at people. And the Bible says he will have compassion over them. You see, he was not always acting kindness, but he's always good, even while he was not kind. That is why you should not expect your pastor to be always kind to you. If he's always kind to you, some of you will be stupid. At some point, pastor will not be kind. He will shout on you. He will rebuke you. You needed to be rebuked. It's the truth. And you see, you can't tell me when I should rebuke you. I'm the one that will rebuke you by the Spirit. Because the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16, it said the ministry of the Spirit through the pastor goes beyond doctrine to reproof, to correction, to instruction in righteousness. It said that way the man of God, guess what? Perfected unto God for every good work. You seen that, right? In other words, the pastor goes beyond giving you doctrine. Now, if my agreement with you, if my relationship with you is doctrine-based alone, I'm not your pastor. I should go beyond just giving you doctrine to reproving you and telling you this is wrong. You know, how would I know? Sometimes you call, "Pastor, I want to see you. There's a case." Then we correct you. The one you tell us, the one you don't tell us, we still correct you. Are you listening to me? Let me just say these words. A lot of people suffer because they don't understand the advantage of a pastor over their life. At some point when you are confused, God is not seeing it like a big trouble because he has given you a pastor. If you could just take advantage of the grace of God, you don't need to cry and ponder because he has given you a pastor. I know the world are hating and insulting. Satan is causing something all over the internet. If you go, people are insulting pastors. But if you join them, you will become a victim. Are you listening to me? Because God did not tell you to condemn pastors. He didn't tell you. He even told you in his word that false prophet will rise. Did God not tell you? We just read it. To show you it's not for false prophets. He has said to you that false prophets will rise. He said that way they will teach wrong doctrines and the love of many will be what? Wax cold. Go back to where we were in Hebrew. He's trying to teach about discernment. So Paul is like, some of you ought to be mighty men already in church. You ought to be HODs, you ought to be cell leaders, you ought to be this, you ought to be that, and etc. He said, but from what I'm seeing, Paul speaking, you actually need to be taught again, because it's like you did not understand before. The way you are acting, you actually need to be taught again the beginning of the basics of God's teaching. He said you are like children still needing what? Milk. And not yet ready to what? Digest solid food. That's Paul speaking. He was not happy. He was speaking to his congregation. There are some of them that are supposed to be big guys, grown up, student of God's word, are acting like children. And they now need again the basic principles instead of advancing in knowledge. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Are you here tonight? Next part of scriptures. Then it says, for every spiritual infant who lives on milk is not yet pierced by the revelation of righteousness. Now remember what he has said about milk, that it should be for people who are not acting mature. Isn't it? So he said, if you are not acting mature, you need milk. You need milk. And he said, if you are actually needing milk, it is because you don't know the revelation of righteousness. Which the Bible also means for strong meat, if we keep on reading. It is reciprocated for what? Strong meat also. Hallelujah to Jesus. Next part of scripture. It says, but solid food or strong meat. Solid food, let's use solid food here because it says solid food. Solid food is for the mature whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters. And they have been adequately trained by what they've experienced or emerged with understanding. Alright, let me just have this in the KJV so that we give a better rendition. It said, but solid food belongs to those who are full age. So we can liken milk to the immature and solid food to what? The mature. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Milk to what? The immature and solid food to what? The mature. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, that is those who by the reason of use have their senses, what? Exercise. Meaning they've used the solid food very well. Stayed so much on the solid food and by the reason of use, gotten their what? Senses exercise by solid food, which is also the words of what? Righteousness. Do you remember? Are you following me tonight? Which is also reciprocated for the words of what? Righteousness. So we can say, but the words of righteousness belong to those who are of what? Full age. That is those who by the reason of use of the word of righteousness have their senses what? Exercise. To what? Discern both good and evil. What are the words of righteousness? The words that tell you or communicate to you your place in Christ. So when you understand your place in Christ properly, the Bible said you come to a point that you yourself can tell the difference from the difference between what is wrong from what is what? Right. I hope people get what I'm trying to explain to you. In other words, let's see it through Romans 12 verse 2. Romans 12 from verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? That you may prove what is that good and what? And what? So Paul is saying that. Anytime I read this scripture, I like to just read from verse 1. Let's read from verse 1 so that you understand better. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Meaning, according to Paul, your most reasonable service is that your bodies are what? Presented a what? Next part of scripture. He said, how will this happen? by not being what? Conformed to this world. But by what? When your minds are renewed, what will then happen? You will prove. What Paul is saying is this. Now, of course, you know that the tale of verse 2 is not talking about the three categories of God's will. Are you here? We don't have three categories of God's will. God's will is one. These three words you saw at the tail of verse 2 are three adjectives to describe God's will, which is one. God's will is good, and that same God's will that is good is what is acceptable. And that same God's will that is acceptable is what is what? Perfect. So there is no good will of God, acceptable will of God, contrary to some people's teaching, and what? Perfect will of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Why did I have to connect verse 1 and 2? Listen carefully. There is no way you can offer your body a reasonable sacrifice to God except your minds are transformed by God's word. There is no way. For instance, there are people that refuse to dress in a certain way before they even understood God's word. They just became born again and they refused to dress in certain ways, or they started dressing in certain ways. Let me put it like that. To communicate they are born again to God. Meanwhile, their minds are not renewed yet. Alright? The Bible said there's a connection between verse 1 and verse 2. That you cannot truly offer your body except your mind has been transformed by God's word. To know what is God's will. And make sure your body subjects itself to God's will. I don't know if you people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. The Bible speaks about dead works in righteousness in Hebrews 9. There's what we call dead works in righteousness. Doing things without understanding whether it's God's will or not. In your heart, you are imagining that God likes this thing you are doing. For instance, there are people that don't wear earrings. They never saw that basis from scripture. But they don't wear earrings. From scripture, if they read scripture, they'll be amazed that God uses earrings to even communicate his chosen people to the world. It said Zion is like a woman that adorned herself with jewelries. That's what the Bible said. So if they read that part of scripture, now they'll be wondering if God is not even holy. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So they never read from God's word, but they created some kind of, you know, they feel like earring looks so fancy, and so God will not be excited with somebody wearing earrings, and they don't wear earrings. Some say they don't like trousers. They believe that trousers are for sinners. Misunderstanding Leviticus 16 that said a man should not wear what pertaineth a woman, and a woman should not wear what pertaineth a man. And when we check the scripture carefully, I think I did it last Sunday, it has nothing to do with a particular kind of dressing. It was a culture that the Israelites learned from the Egyptians, an immoral culture, where if you want to sleep, maybe, I don't know if it's their clubs or party, but if you want to sleep with a certain woman, a certain man, you just carry a part of your dress and you throw on the person, and the person will wear it. So you are sitting and they are wearing your dress and dancing. It's a communication that I want you. So Paul had to kill that culture because it happened. You know, even though Israel left Egypt, Egypt had not what? Left the Israelite. That's why they were in the wilderness for how many years? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Just like some people became born again, they left the world, but the world is still within them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Their minds have not been renewed. I think I was saying that in the leadership meeting on Friday. I said, you ask some people, who do you want to get married to? Before they became born again, they said, I want a certain man in Nollywood, or I want a certain woman in Hollywood, blah, 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 blah. But when they became born again, who do you want to marry? They communicate the same people. Why? Because their hearts have not been what? Renewed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Glory to God forevermore. So if you understand God's will for your life, if you understand God's word properly, you will understand that there are certain things that people are practicing today that they did not get from God's word, and it's just dead works in righteousness. So the Bible never spoke about trouser and etc., because it was never in those days when Moses was communicating that what pertaineth a woman should not wear. And if you look at the origin of trouser, from the origin, it was not meant for men ahead. Am I right? Yes. I just wonder why it would not be meant for. What was meant for? Hallelujah to Jesus. Whisket. That's where we have problem. So well, let us stop there. Because I wonder what the announcer is meant for men. And they said they created trousers for women because they were easily getting affected. Was it a rape case or what? I can't really remember. I think so. So they had to create something that will make sure that before you try to prevail, they can fight you. Some sort of ahead. Hallelujah to Jesus. But there are certain religious organizations today that don't accept the wearing of trousers for women. And listen, let's not just attack them. To some extent, some of them, their reasons are justified. Follow me carefully. There are some people that wear trousers in an evil way as ladies. You know, many years ago on campus, I went to a certain church I attended. And the lady that was filling people with the Holy Ghost, I was laughing because all those people she was filling with the Holy Ghost would not be filled with the Holy Ghost. She dressed in a very seductive way. But she was the one laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the church, I think they had a culture. I think somehow they misunderstood that culture. They don't agree for a guy and a lady to greet themselves in church. They say a guy should turn to a lady and greet themselves. I know they were trying to use logic to keep guys in church because more members they had were women. So when you say turn around and greet your neighbor, you see ladies looking for a guy to greet. And they even hug you. Hallelujah to Jesus. And now my uncle was in love with that church. So in love with the church. The lady that hugged him, he now fell in love with the lady. Because she now became the person following him up to come to church. And every time he likes her, you did not even call me to come to church today. She now said, I'm so sorry I didn't call you. So I'd be calling me, oh, be calling me. I like when you call me to come to church. If not, I will not come. Oh. She would call him and say, Uncle Susan, are you coming today? Why will I not come? Just to see your face, if I'll come. He will go. He became very dedicated. Until one day, he decided to ask her out. Then she now caught him warning of his life. I said, the only thing that joined me is church. Don't assume. That was the last day he went to the church. But this is it. One day when they finished service, they took some people. I was already full of the Holy Ghost. I just wanted to attend because I was invited. I just came to BSU that time in my remedial days. And I saw the lady filling people with the Holy Ghost. I started laughing. Only me. I just smiled and I was going. And I had heard comments some boys made about the church. My remedial classmates, they were just saying rubbish about it. You know, so, you they go to that church on Sunday? I hear what they happened. And they go. And they go. You know, they were just joking. All of them wanted to go to the church. Because they heard what was happening. Say, babe, could just lay your heart for head. Go lay heart for you. You could just see one hot girl just. They were communicating things like that. The lady looked seductive. Yes. She wore, she's big naturally. The lady is big naturally. She now wore one kind of tight jeans. I don't know how to communicate this thing. But she was hot, very hot. That's the best way I can explain it. Why is Betty looking at me like this as I said this? She was looking so strange. And she was one that laid hands. Received the Holy Ghost. The guy just turned at this. In my heart, I said, this guy is not going to receive anything. Because the way she's dressed is totally wrong. Are you listening to me? You can't take that kind of dressing for an interview. You want to go for a bank job interview? You can't take that kind of dressing. Because you will distract the person even interviewing you. You say, get out from this place. Get out, get out. Hallelujah to Jesus. That kind of dressing is wrong. You can't take that to go and minister God's word, to do evangelism. When you want to do evangelism here, you hear what I always say. You are going to preach to somebody, he's not listening to you. He's looking at you because of how you are dressed. So there's a way you can wear trousers that you know. And nobody knows this thing like ladies. You can't explain it to them more than them. They know. You know trousers that when you wear, it's okay. You know the ones that when you wear, it's not okay. That's why the law is in your heart. There's a church in Lagos that brothers used to stop ladies to drive those that don't dress well and those that dress well. So one day I was going to the church, a lady was before me. They stopped the sister. There are these old brothers in church that don't get married. They are still youth president at age 43. You know? They stopped the lady and they told the lady, you are not dressed properly. So I was watching the scene before I entered. And the lady said, what is wrong with my dressing? She wanted to argue with them. What is wrong with my dressing? I said, look at it. Look at how your body is showing. And truly, that lady is not dressed wrongly to me. And when they wanted to drive her, she started shouting and cursing and saying, rubbish, hypocrites, sir, you gather here, old quaggos. She started insulting them. So when I wanted to enter, and I shook them, I said, well, what's wrong with her dress? She said, she's not righteously dressed. And I said, how can somebody write, tell us how a righteous lady dressed? So at least cover yourself. Cover yourself. So I looked at the brother, I was wearing a short sleeve. So I said, your hand is showing. He said, no, I'm a man. I said, okay. Do you know that women too used to have this problem you people have? I don't know. Do women have same problem? All right. No answer. That's an answer. They say, shuru shuru ma maganani. Koba akaba. Do you know the same problem men have? Two women have? Huh? I know the women will not respond from your place. But they truly have. You see, when they say men, they always try to protect men that when they see, there's a saying that says men are moved by what they see and women are moved by what they hear. I mean, men in the flesh are moved by what they see and women in the flesh are moved by what they what? Hear. So they say if you want to deceive, that is why women do makeup and men lie. Have you heard that statement? Have you heard it before? They say men are moved by what they see and women are moved by what they hear. So women trying to help men, they have to make up and try to do a recent this thing they are doing today. The increases. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? And men now always lie just to make sure everything is perfect. It happens. It's true. It's true. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when I spoke to them like that, of course they did not hear me. That was the first time I was even speaking to them. I said, you just broke that sister's heart. God had a word for her. And you broke her heart. Imagine, if you know what you are communicating to this sister, you, even if you think she's not dressed fine, you allow her into church. Knowing that when she goes back home, her life will never remain the same. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you guys here tonight? Are you here tonight? So go back to Matthew where we were, the first part. It said, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. It will wax cold. It will wax cold. You see people start misbehaving in church. People start doing this and that and all form of rubbish. Hallelujah to Jesus. Many years ago, I was speaking with a friend. I said, with the way people are preaching in church, a time will come, people will be leaving church to go and do all forms of immoral things and they will not be ashamed. He said, what do you mean? One time on Facebook, I will not mention the name of the church for decency's sake. A dear lady came out from the church to apply for Big Brother Niger. She went for the interview. And they were asking, you know, they were trying to, the person, the, what do they call these people that do podcasts? Journalist was asking her. You know, trying to, the topic for the discussion was religious view to this, their program, Big Brother Niger. She said, ah, don't mind all those hypocrites. I'm a Christian. She not mentioned the church she goes to. But I'll still apply. Because it's not bad. She mentioned the church. People use the church to mock, they mock the church that season. Hallelujah to Jesus. Funny. It happened. Amen. Why was she able to leave church and do that kind of thing she was doing? Because probably she was not getting the truth of God's word. It had become a mere religion. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Are you here tonight? Very important. Glory to God forevermore. So she had the impetus to leave church and apply for Big Brother Nigeria. I mean, there are a lot of Christians, there are some of them in church today, that are consistent with watching Big Brother Nigeria. Consistent. They watch it. You know, one time I was on Facebook, not on the Big Brother Nigeria page because I had blocked it a time ago. You know, somehow you are just moving on Facebook, you now see something pop up. Because some people, they sponsor their ads. So you don't have control, total control on what you see on Facebook. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? So I saw this brother, I don't know who he is. He was streaming Big Brother Nigeria and he had almost 3,000 views. On an evening. So I told myself, this is not even their page. Somebody decided to stream it. And he had how many views? 3,000 plus views. I said, what if you go to their page? How many views would they have? It will be very plenty. Their church services, you see, 2 views. 1.5 view. 1 view, it will clear. Go back to 1 view again. But that kind of thing, you are seeing more than 3,000 views. And listen to me, people of God, many of them are Christians. Should I prove it to you? Most Muslims, if they want to watch Brother Nigeria, they put it under their chair and they are looking like this. Is Malan coming? Is this one coming? They hide it to watch. So most times, they don't have that liberty to sit in the evening inside their house and watch because it's haram. They are scared. Maybe they want to watch it, but they can't watch it because of their religious laws. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But Christians, you may bump into a house and a mother is watching with her child. Yes, a father is watching with his children. You know, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about parenthood. I said that it brought it into my consciousness. So one day I was driving and the Holy Ghost told me, he just reminded me, he said, you know you're about to have a child? I said, yes. He said, what are your plans? Not physical plans, though. Maybe but of course it covers. Before I go back home, my mama will say, oh yeah, now, what are the plans? So I'm trying to cover up for that. Yes, there's physical plan and there's spiritual plan. But the Holy Spirit was speaking about spiritual plan. Are you here? More interested in the spiritual plan. I said, what are your plans? What are you putting in place? He said, do you know even a lot of things about you will change? I said, like what? He said, a lot of things I will not tell you. He said, they will change. He said, do you know you have to be more careful? I said, how? He said, because you're having a child and you are the number one model for that child. He said, a lot of things have to change. So when he started speaking to me about it, I went to our dish and I looked for Big Brother Ninja and I blocked it. We were not watching it, but the thing, I'd seen it thrice. So I had to go and block it now. And I did another parental control setting that if a content is rated 18, it will be blocked by default until you put password. And of course, nobody knows the password. Even me, I've forgotten the password. So I created a system like that. I'm already planning for the child before the child will come. You know, so why did Pastor Simon just do? If you carry my dish now, you want to watch something, you just be seeing, they'll be writing 18 blocked, 18 blocked. 18 blocked. Only maybe cartoon and a few Christian programs will you be able to watch. The rest of them are blocked. If you go to Faith Channel, it's open. If you go to anything Faith, it's open. If you go to many of these other channels, they are blocked. Why? Because I'm responsible for the growth of that child. The perfect word, growth of that child. Are you listening to me? So the Bible had said in verse 11, carefully again, before we continue, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And when they deceive many, what will happen? What will become the resultant effect? How will they deceive? They will give wrong doctrines, wrong ideologies. That way, when people start buying in, like what I was trying to explain, countering what that man said. You know, I use Hebrews 5 to show you that the law is already in your heart. When you grow in the knowledge of Christ, you come to a point that you can tell the difference from what? Right and what? Wrong. And I use Romans 12 to explain how that when you understand God's word, if your mind has been transformed, you can tell what God's will is. So God's word, God has given us his law by teaching us who he is. in Jeremiah, he prophesied about the new bed. He said, no one will need to teach them what is wrong from what is right, because the least of them will know me, and my laws will be in their heart, and they shall be called my people, and I'll be called their God. So in the New Testament, it's not about where did they write no smoking in scripture? Where did they write this thing is not in the Bible? You don't need to look for it like that. The law is in your heart. If you know God's word, you can tell what is not God's word, because you know God's word. So by the knowledge of God's word, we can tell what the knowledge of Satan is. We can differentiate worldly knowledge because we have the light of scriptures in our hearts. That is how we knew. According to the Bible, whatever steals, kills, and destroys you is not from God. We saw it. He has come that you may have life, and life in what? Abundance. So nobody needs to tell me that smoking is not written in the Bible, because according to science, smoking kills you. Alcohol kills you. The recent research about alcohol in medicine says that any percentage of alcohol has a potency to destroy you. Any. That's their recent research. So if you see a doctor smoking, he's just helpless. He needs God to deliver him, because he knows that he's killing himself. Are you listening to me tonight? Most of these characters, all of them, not most of them, are sponsored by demons. All of them are sponsored by demons. I was teaching in the leadership meeting. All of them are sponsored by demons. God wants the whole world. The harvest is plenteous. And one thing the devil will do is this. I woke up this morning with this burden. The people that God wants to use to advance his kingdom is the people Satan is targeting. When he sees fire, glory in your life, it is you that is most important to him. I've heard reports of people that started well and Satan hits them. And people are wondering, you know, have you heard that people say that men of God are the worst? Have you heard statements like that? Why do you think people will say men of God are the worst? Some of them have seen first-hand proof. They've heard pastors do terrible things. Why will a pastor leave everything and follow God, and at the middle of his ministry, you hear that he impregnates somebody in his church? You think it's normal? It's not normal. Because truly that man loved God. But somehow within ministry, Satan was targeting that man too. And people get on trying to explain. And he makes a certain mistake like that. People will not say all these devils on the platform. Not because the guy is truly a devil, he intended that from the beginning, but because when he started, he became Satan's target. Are you people get on trying to explain to you? Many years ago, a young man was about to kill himself. He now called me. Young man like me. Somehow when he was going through Facebook, he saw one of my clips and was excited. So he disturbed Pastor Ed and got my number. And I even accepted to talk to him was that he told Pastor Ed he's about to die, that if they want him to die, that I should not pick. So Pastor Ed now communicated to me that somebody said he's about to die. Because he has been asking, and I said, wait. So I said, share the number fast before somebody dies. And he called me, sir, he was gasping for air. I said, what is wrong with you? He said, my name is Susan So. He's a pastor, a reverend. He says, sir, as I'm talking to you, I'm with a bottle of Star. I just drank two bottles. I'm about to smoke. I just want to kill myself. That's why I'm doing all of these things. I said, you are smoking, you are a pastor, you are drinking. You're about to kill yourself. Sir, I have this thing by the table here. When I'm done, I'll just drink it and die. I'm not worthy to be alive again. I've done the worst thing. So I was like, I started laughing. Yes, sir, you are laughing. Because I wanted to speak to him in a certain way that he will not feel bad and just forget about that rubbish he wants to do. Firstly, let him not die. We don't want him to die. So I said, why are you killing yourself? Do you know what people have done in this life? And you think you have done the worst things. Do you know Jesus paid for all of these things you've done? He was so shocked listening to me. I kept on speaking to him. I said, you are the one being so hard on yourself. Jesus is not this hard on you. He wants you. As I explaining that God wants you before he wants, do you know who is more important to God between me and the ministry now is myself. God wants my soul. The way he wants your soul personally is the way he wants my soul personally. Before God wants me to do ministry, he wants my soul first. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? So my soul is most important to God than my work of the ministry. Are you people understanding what I'm trying to explain? You know, some people are thinking people are perishing. I need to wake up and move. Mm-mm. God wants your soul first before he wants you doing the work of the ministry. So I say your soul matters the most to God. As I explained to him, hit him with the word of God, and he started crying. And of course he repented, and at once he drove to come and see me from his state. And I advised him, taught him God's word. Thank God for his life today. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. A lot of people are suffering like that. Now he began to explain certain things to me. I was shocked. Some of them I can never open my mouth here and say it. At the middle of the discussion, I had to tell him, stop. He said, Pastor, I said, no, I don't just want to hear again. I mean, there were terrible things. Terrible things. He began to mention names. You know, some people, when you hear people say they fake miracles, you think they are lying until you hear first-hand information. He was now explaining to me some miracles that were fake, and that he can look for the videos for me on Facebook, that they were behind the scene. They were behind the scene. He was telling me they were behind the scene. The younger prophets rising. Oh, glory to God. There was a scripture he showed me. He said, this is one of the scriptures they use. Remember the experience between Elisha. Was it Elisha or Elijah? With Gehazi. I think it's Elisha with Gehazi. And that woman that always used to give them food when they travel. Can you remember that woman? How that one time Elisha had to send Gehazi. Go and ask that woman, what does she want? I want to pray to God to do it for her. When he went to ask the woman said, spoke about her son or something. Huh? She doesn't have a child. Then he came back to the prophet. He said, that is how you people will go and ask information for the man of God. When you come back, then we will not communicate to the people. That's how they do fake prophecies. He said, that's the scripture they use to deceive them. So they will go out there and ask people about their details. Then bring it to the man of God. Then the man of God will not know that they need something. And will not say it on the podium. Have I met you before? And things like that. Downplaying the prophetic. I know some of you are shocked. They even showed scripture for it. You see what fake prophets can do. Scriptural backup. I put my hand on my head. I said, sir, there's a place I entered in a part of Nigeria. I will not mention the name. He said, I entered. The people I saw, I was shocked. They were drinking and were with women. That was Saturday to Sunday service. Men of God. When he started, I said, stop. It's okay. God has delivered you. He says, are you scared of hearing? I said, no. I don't just want to hear again. It's okay. It is happening. Are you listening to me? Fake prophecies, fake prophets, they are there. That doesn't mean the real is not there. See, for the fake to come, it means the real is already there. There can be the real, that's why there's a fake. Are you listening to me? So Satan is always looking for that person that matters the most to God for the end time harvest. He knows the harvest is plenteous. He knows he wants the world too. Do you know what will delay the second coming? Do you know what will delay the second coming? It is how Satan is finding expression on the earth. You know, some Christians are trying to just do this isolation from the world. They have this isolation from the world mentality. As long as Satan is winning, read the Bible, Matthew 13. Jesus said, the reason why the wonderful farmer will not come and harvest is because when he's harvesting, he will be removing the tares together with what? The wheat together with the tares. So because he wants to protect the wheat, he will not come and remove what? The tares. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? In other words, as long as there are a lot of sinners on the earth, more than righteous people, you will never hear the second coming happen. It will never happen. Because God doesn't just want to come and take a few people. I mean, establish his kingdom with a few people upon the face of the earth. He wants the whole world to be his. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Not some part of the world. He wants every part of the world to become his. See what he said in John 12. Let's see it briefly from verse 30. It gives you an idea. John 12 from verse 30. It said, Jesus answered and said, let's see in the Amplified rendition. It said, this voice did not come because of me, but for you. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. The voice that I spoke from heaven, right? Next part of scripture. 31. He said, now judgment is upon this world. The sentence is being passed. What is that sentence? Now the ruler of this world, Satan, will be cast out. Hallelujah to Jesus. Will be, because he had not died, been buried and resurrected. Now Satan is casted out. Listen, Satan does not have legal ground on the earth. Listen, not some people think Satan has legal ground till the second coming. Mm-mm. What we are doing today as Christians is to make sure that the actual realm finds expression now for the earth. The actual realm is that as it is in heaven, so shall it be upon the face of the earth. When Jesus resurrected, he paved the way for that possibility to become a reality. That's what we are pushing right now as Christians. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So we are kind of in an overlapping. We are not really in the parousia, but we are almost there. And how much harvest we have will determine how close we are to the parousia. Because he didn't come for some, he came for all. Am I being too mysterious to you this morning? Are you understanding me? Look at the next part of scripture, verse 32. Then it says, and when I'm lifted up from the earth, where? On the cross. Not futuristic, on the cross. What will happen? It's at that point on the cross, what have I done? Will draw all people to myself. Now the problem, has he been lifted up on the cross? In other words, he has already drawn all men to himself. God is saying that go and plug now is very easy. That's why he said, go into the work, make disciples. In other words, just go and be removing. The harvest is plenteous. Go and harvest. Because I've created a possibility for the harvest to be simple. On the cross, I've drawn all men to myself. My power has been released. The prince of this world, Satan, has been casted out. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you here tonight? He has been casted out. When he resurrected, he said, now all authority. He didn't say some. That's proof that Satan has no power. Are you listening to me? He has no power. All power belongs to Jesus. We even sing these songs. Why do we sing the song and we now create a show for Satan? All power belongs to you. Don't we sing it? All power belongs to you in heaven and the earth. We sing songs like that. When we are done singing, we now say, let us pray against the kingdom of darkness. They don't have power. He said now all authority. He didn't say some authority. So Satan showing his power on the earth today is illegal. Because he has no power. The only way he can show power on the earth, it is through your ignorance. When you are not knowledgeable, Satan uses you to show his power. Who told you that Satan has the power to make anybody smoke? It is your ignorance that makes you smoke. Satan has no power. There is no mountain anywhere. The only mountain that exists is ignorance. It is created by ignorance. Are you all listening to me? On the cross, Jesus showcased his power. He destroyed Satan. He finished him. He now had liberty. He now created such liberty on the earth such a possibility upon the face of earth that every man is now his own. On the cross, he took the whole world for the harvest. He got the whole world for his harvest. That is why he said, I don't desire that anybody perishes, but that what? All. Not some. But what? All. He wants all to come to repentance. The Bible said the long suffering of Jesus is not towards foolishness. Peter speaking, the apostle. He said it is to the end that everybody repents and not perish. You know, God is just so faithful. So patient. People are wondering, why is he this patient? He wants you. He wants your soul. That's why you do everything. Pastor will not kill you. He will still look at you and smile. Get serious with your destiny. You don't have all the time to joke in the world. Don't allow Satan to make you foolish. Who told you that your destiny is making money? It is not making money. How do you think that the great mighty God created you on the earth to keep you so that you make money finally? Some people today, what you are pursuing is money. You don't know your purpose. Before you were created into this world, there was something God saw that made him to create you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, the Bible said, I had known you to be a prophet. Imagine that Jeremiah left everything to make money because he had family to take care of. Are you people following me tonight? Many people think their God-given ambition on the earth is to make money. Some are waiting to rise one day. Just understand your place in Christ. Excavate that. Just sit with the Holy Spirit. Know your place in Christ. If you start living purpose, money will come. Money will come in response to purpose. Don't be scared. I was sharing on Friday that thank God somebody that knew me in the banks is here. There's the man with the beards. He knew me so much in the banks. I was sharing how that I have played football so well. In fact, amongst my peers, I don't think anybody played to the level I played. I started playing Kaduna State League before anybody in that place started playing. They were not even aware that something like that was happening. I thought I was going to be a very wonderful footballer up there. One day people would watch me on TV. I played football, people of God. I didn't even like book like football. My biology teacher, anytime he sees me, he will say, if you don't do your assignment, I'll kill you. Because the field I played ball was just close to his house. And finally, I'm preaching the gospel. Yes, I'm preaching. If they told me that one day you become a pastor while I was pursuing football, I would have never believed it. I would have laughed. Me, pastor, you're mad. You're a joke. Because all I saw when I closed my eye, I see myself in the midfield just moving the ball, just giving some true pass. And the world shouting, hey, Papilo! That's all I used to see. But one day, it just shook me. I woke up. I said, I don't want to play football again. Because God has called me to preach. I'm sure him too, he laughed at me. If you remembered. Many people laughed at me in the barracks. You, pastor. So I will not remember your sin. But here am I preaching. That's one thing with purpose. You are planning your life like this. Then you came to GCMI. You are pursuing one career. You came to GCMI. You started praying in tongues. They say, pray in the Holy Ghost. One day you are just praying. Your eyes are open. You just see. You start crying. What did I just see now? God is calling you in another direction. You hear a voice that says, don't go to anywhere. Listen to what pastor says to you. Okay, let me hear what pastor is saying. Remain here for a while. So they say there's a job for me in Lafia for 500k per month. If I get it, my partnership will be 400k. Don't worry, remain here. So I want to go and make the money so that we'll push. Don't worry, stay here. Let's just be here. Let the money not come. So you're not interested. You know, people have met me like that. Sometimes even as pastors, you are tempted. One time, one of my pastors came to me and said, sir, Shebi, you preach that we're supposed to go into every system of the world and take over the world. I say yes. See, sir, there's an opening for me to enter one paramilitary this thing. I don't know if that is the prophecy. There's one time you want to use my head. There's one time you are prophesying to me around the direction. I looked at him, I said, don't buy the form. Don't even hear anybody that is telling you about it. Be here. See, sir, but you know if I go there now, if my salary is like 1 million, I'll be partnering like 900k. I said, don't worry. Be here. God did not call you to do that. Sometimes you have to help people. Of course, that's one ministry of a pastor. Some will be confused. One time somebody messaged me in the middle of the night. Not to mock her. She had been pressed to and fro by life. Life has hit her. And she just missed middle of the night. I was awake, thank goodness. And say, pastor, sir, thank you for how much faithful you have been and wonderful you have been committed to my growth. You know, one man of God, one time, a lecturer, I wanted to go and talk to him about something. I was not happy about the thing. It's about our fellowship. So I remember something he said that made me to laugh. I said, sir, with all due respect, he said, keep the due respect to yourself. Anytime you people say with all due respect, you want to disrespect somebody. Instead of saying it, I actually started laughing. I said, sir, well, I don't know how to say this thing again, but sir, I said, joking and speaking. But when I went back home, I was just laughing to his statement. I said, anytime people say we don't do respect, we know it's disrespect that is coming. So anytime you see somebody tell you, pastor, thank you for, it's like a final letter, thank you for how much committed you are to my growth, how much, and a few times I had that message from ladies that saw their husbands in the world, And the rest. They say, pastor has told us that we should marry a man that knows Christ, but this man, he doesn't really know Christ very well. He goes to a so church, and he's not so much strong, but he's a good man. He's better than some people in church. So when they now choose the man, they will now see a prophecy. After they choose the man, they will now dream. In the dream, they will now see themselves as eagle carrying the man. So they will now say, now this is a confirmation that God will use me to lift him. Wow. Then when they have the vision, you see, because you had the vision because you wanted that man. You wanted that man. If you didn't want the man, you will not see the vision. You know, some people don't say, I felt peace. I feel peace, pastor. That one is old trick. It doesn't work again. Many years ago, a young man met me and said, I feel peace. I said, why will you not feel peace? Is it not the lady that you like? Who will get what he wants and not feel peace? It's an old trick. Some of us will have rediscovered that the thing is not like that. At the first instance, when God told you that's not your wife, and your flesh is telling you that's your wife, if you now pray about it and see her, you will feel peace. Because that's what you want. Your flesh is stronger at that point than your spirit. But as you grow in the relationship and see finish start entering, you will not feel peace again. Because now you have known who this woman truly is. And you have seen that it's not all that glitters. That's good. So that old trick, that trick is gone. I feel peace. I feel peace. It's not pieces you will feel before. When she said everything, in the middle of it, she now said, sir, I'm led to stay in this particular state. As I'm led, sir, please permit me for now. I said to her, I did not reply all those first abundant. I said, young woman, how are you? I said, good morning, young woman. You are not led. You are just frustrated. Try to gather yourself up and come back. He shook her. Boom. Why? Because I saw it clearly that it's frustration that is speaking. Do you know sometimes people have, because of hunger, they've heard God during hunger. In the storm, if you hear God, it's not always accurate. Hunger can make you to hear another thing. You are just in Makodi serving God like this. God say, you are the HOD, blah, blah, blah. People are like that. You have a cell. You know one thing that baffles me? A lot of people don't understand their calling. You have a cell. You traveled for marriage. Alright? The cell is Friday or Thursday. Your sister's wedding is on Saturday. You have a cell. Stay from Thursday before you travel. No. You travel Wednesday. They ask you why. He said, to help her prepare our Ashebi. Do you know you have a cell? The problem is that you thought a man gave you that function. It's God. This is soul. We're talking about souls. You left souls and went to arrange your sister's Ashebi, Abi, whatever Ashebi. Say, I'm the one doing my sister's makeup. Another person can do it. So, Pastor Simon, she's my blood sister. Jesus spilled his blood for these souls you are living. He gave you that response. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you tonight? God gives you a responsibility. You allow hunger to decide whether you should do it or not. You have a cell. Say it's a cell now. If I leave, is that easy? Hunger now fire you. Now look at Abuja. Forget the souls. Forget the souls. Forget the souls. Then you're in Abuja looking for money. If it is hunger, most of you will not find me as a preacher. If it is by hunger, you will not find me here. I told my leaders one time, there was a day we drank, it's a season we're drinking well water. If I told you I drank well water, will you believe? I drank well water. I didn't drink it directly. I boiled it. I had sense. I boiled it. I had a skewed fridge in my house. When I boil it, I sieve it, put it in the fridge. And people come to my house. Some of you drank well water. The reason why I was not angry is because I knew that was even purer than some of your pure water at that time. So I was not even disturbed. Until they caught me one time doing it. Yet I was still preaching. Oh, all things are mine. People would not stand up and say, yes! I can never be broke my life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Purpose is powerful. Don't joke with purpose.
Don't allow hunger make you make decisions. You just sit down, no food. You don't remember Lagos, like the prodigal son. In my father's house, even the servant, whatever they want, they eat. You must be taught that faith can take you into prosperity, and faith can take you away from prosperity. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. By faith. You must understand that this kingdom thing is an agenda we are pursuing. Are you understanding me tonight? It's an agenda. That is why if for some reasons one or two of you even are not in church, probably doing the work of the ministry, you don't have all that liberty because you are in the military or some sort of, we have one of our pastors there in the Nigerian army. If you observe, he cannot be like everybody. Because he knows that. You know, one time we were speaking, he was speaking with his younger brother, and he told him, he said, you know what brought me here? It's not passion, it's money. And the younger brother was like, he said, yeah, it's not passion for the job, it's money. 90% of people in the military are not there for military work, they are there for money. If they were there for military work, they would have taken over this country since. It's money. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I said to him, of course he knew before he left here that he is there as a kingdom ambassador. He has told me several times how that the friends will be mocking him that his own is too much. They've never seen him with a woman. Because as a military man, it is a normal thing to be carrying women. They call them samas. You must just play with samas. That should be your life. In fact, if you don't carry women, you are not a true military man. You are not representing. Now, one proof is when you go for military operations, they give you money for even smoking allowance. They give you money for even drinking. My dad told me he saved all the money and brought it back in Liberia. They give you money for women. Meaning they are telling you that we understand that is our culture. Hallelujah to Jesus. And he said, most of them mock him. He said he has even seen people who are in the clergy there doing the same thing they do. I said, you see, it's because they just wore the uniform. The clergy uniform. They never understood their place in Christ. They never understood that they are kingdom ambassadors. He has led so many to Christ there already. And he's still leading. Because it's an agenda. Are you listening to me? That's how you must live your life wherever you find yourself. Look for avenues to advance the kingdom of God. See what Jesus said before we close in Luke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. I hope I've not missed this scripture. It's in Luke, he says, okay, let me just get it. Luke 14:23. Luke 14:23. It says, then the master told the servant, go out into the highways, along the hedges, and compel them to come in, so that my house may be what? Filled with guests. Let's see a scripture before this. Give me the TPT. It says, and the servant after returning said, when the servant returned to his master, he said, sir, I have done what you have asked, but there is still room for more. You see? They've done everything, but they are still what? Room for more. Then Jesus said to them, to the people, go ahead, verse 23. So the master told him, all right, go out again, and this time bring them all back with you. Persuade the beggars on the street, the outcasts, even the homeless, urgently insist that they come in and enjoy the feast so that my house will be full. Give me the Amplified rendition. It says, then the master told the servant, go out into the highways along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house
may be filled with guests. See what Jesus is saying. He said, when you come to my house, it should not be empty. Fill it. The disciples came back. They said, there were more rooms. We've done all you said, but there are more rooms. He said, okay, go back again. And this time, make sure everybody comes back with you. Look at that instruction. Imagine Jesus is your pastor. He says, go for evangelism and don't come back alone. If you don't have somebody, don't come back. Make sure everywhere is full. How do we tell that the kingdom of God is making advancement when we see our local assembly making advancement? Because we are not privileged to be in every local assembly. As you are in Glory Carriers now, you are not in another church. So the way you can tell that God's kingdom is making advances is not by going to look at another church, but by looking at the church God has given you the assignment to work. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So if, for instance, you were 1,000 and you became 1,500, you can tell that 1,500 is not just added to GCMI. 1,500 has been added to what? God's kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So what am I saying in essence? That if you truly love God and are ready to follow what he has said and believe that we are ready for the last harvest, the end time harvest, you will not come to church without somebody. You will not come to church without somebody. He has given an instruction. He said, go out and make sure my house is filled. Evangelism is an act of faith. That we understand that Jesus has paid the price for the whole world. That is why we go inviting people to church. Are you listening to me? So the next time you are coming to church, you can't come back. You can't come to church alone. Because you want advancement for the kingdom of God. And you know, evangelism is something we can look down easily. Some of us think that we are not called to be evangelists. The Bible said, go into the world. That was the day God made it open to us that everybody is called to evangelize. And I said to you that a fivefold ministry was not given to show that some people are superstars. The fivefold ministry are the five possibilities that can work in the body. That's why God created the fivefold ministry. So not only prophet prophesy, not only apostles can be sent to start a work, not only evangelists can go out to preach the gospel. God had to do that to show you that this is a possibility for the body of Christ. So when you see a prophet prophesying, you should understand that God can prophesy through you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. In fact, Paul said, prove yourself by doing the work of a what? An evangelist. So understand this. Like Jesus has said to the disciples, do not come to God's house alone. Always make sure you come with somebody. Are you listening to me? Never come alone. Look at what Jesus said to them. He said, go back. You know what happens when you bring somebody to church? Some of them you are not aware. You are solving not just their problem, a generation's problem. Because if those people mount up with wings, mount up in the fire of the Spirit, they'll solve a problem that had been in their generation for a long time. There are some apostles on the street. Some people you see smoking today are mighty men of God. Mighty men of God. It's the truth. You know what you do when you win a soul? The Bible says there's great joy in heaven. You create a party in heaven when you win a soul. Heaven is excited. That is why God cannot cause the parousia to happen, the second coming. Because he wants a lot of people to be part of the kingdom. He wants everybody. If Christians understand that God wants the whole world for himself, they will preach the gospel more and more. Don't have this mentality that some must go to hell. Some must go to hell. God does not want some to go to hell. He wants all to be part of his kingdom. You see that? He said, I desire that all do not perish, but all come to what? Repentance. He didn't say some. He said all. If God wants all, will you choose who to preach to? In Isaiah 53, he said, even the spoils, he died for everybody. Even those that their life have scattered, he died for them. Meaning, go to everybody and preach the gospel. Smokers, drunkards. Meaning, there's nowhere we should not enter preaching the gospel. There's nowhere. Where people smoke, I've showed you several times. I've entered several places where people smoke and preach the gospel. Why did I enter there? Not because I'm a stubborn boy, but because I know that most of them there, Jesus has paid for their souls. And if we preach, you'll be amazed how vulnerable some of them are. I showed you one time how that I preached somewhere behind First Gate, that just before Bahamas, the turn to Bahamas. That place you see people drink there to stupor and smoke. How that the Lord instructed me to enter one day. They were smoking and blowing it to my face. I said to them, I want to preach. Oh, Pastor, you enter here today? Yeah, I want to share the gospel with you people. I opened my Bible. They offered me a seat. Wonderful people. Nobody shouted for me. As I started teaching, I was looking at their eyes. They asked a few questions. I could see how vulnerable they are. Can I lead you, all of you, to Christ? They threw out down their cigarette, match it, and say yes. Received Jesus, almost crying, some of them, and one of them followed me to my house and told me how he started that thing. How that the father used to insult him, the mother, and he just felt like his life is useless. And that's why he started that. You'll be amazed when you go out there and see people that are misbehaving for some kind of useless reasons. Are you listening to me? Make sure have that culture of preaching the gospel or inviting. Firstly, you may not have the time to preach, but take it as a responsibility. Here you see Jesus saying, go out there. He didn't even say preach. At some point he said, go out and make disciples. But here he's saying, go out there and compel people to come. You see, two kind of evangelism. Compel people to come. Secondly, what do you do? Preach the gospel. If you have the time to do that. And of course, you should have the time. Compel. You see how I've compelled some of you to become part of this church. I'm sure some of you were very shocked the way we're compelling you. We call and call and call, visit and visit and visit. Today you are a champion in the kingdom. And you are doing the same for others. A lot of people need to hear this gospel. Because Jesus wants the whole world. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So the next time you are coming to church, do not come alone. He said, go and make sure that my house is filled up. Meaning it is God's will that everywhere here is filled to the outside. In other words, if you come to church on a Sunday and it is not filled up, you are not fulfilling God's will. We are not glorying in the membership strength. No, but it's God's will also. But we'll not use that to boast. Meanwhile, it's God's will also. I hear people get on trying to explain. It is possible that the quantity becomes quality. There can be plenty and be quality. The problem is when the quantity does not have any quality. I hear people get what I'm trying to say. But if the quantity can be quality, then it's not a problem. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And it's your responsibility. You say, go and compel them. The word there, compel, for compel is anakazu. Everybody say anakazu. It's a compelling power. You can't take no for an answer. The way you do this evangelism, you can't take. And if you have this power working on your inside, your cell will grow. Your cell must grow. If you observe even within yourself, there are some people that are doing the same thing you are doing, but they have different results. Why? Their anakazo is stronger. Hallelujah to Jesus. Tell somebody, test this life, test this life, test this life. You know, some people are wondering, can I be a pastor? Can I be a serious Christian? Test this life. It is sweet. It is sweeter than going to club. We prayed on Friday. How was it? Did you enjoy it? While we're finishing the prayer, I was making some statement. I said some people felt like they will die, but they did not die. Amazing. They are still alive. We prayed to steeple. We worship God and enjoy our life. And we have arranged some things in the future. A lot of things. A lot of things has been arranged. That's what it means to live your life in a glorious way. Not that you wake up one morning and you hear that your brother, his leg was broken. A car smashed his leg and now he has no legs. You can prevent all those things by praying in the spirit. You see somebody, say, which kind of mumu be this one? We are not mumu. We are arranging the future. We are arranging the future. Let's have the TPT as we stop. Romans 8:26. You know, some people say, I'm ambassador of tongues. Or ambassador for tongues affairs. Romans 8:26. Let's read together. Everybody want to go? Are you here, everybody? Let's shout together and read. Want to go?
You see that? Let's read another rendition so that we'll see that it's not just size. It's beyond that. Let's read the Amplified rendition. It says, in the same way, the Spirit. What is the weakness? We do not know. But the Spirit Himself. Too deep for words. Parataka parush. Jabrande ko parakatai. You see? Too deep. You don't know how to communicate it in English. He wants to help you see something. He's seeing something you are not seeing. He wants to arrange something in your future you are not aware about. You don't know what to really pray about. Do you know everything about your life? Do you know everything about tomorrow? But the Holy Ghost rises from within you. Look at the next part of scripture. Then it says in verse 27, and he who searches the heart. In accordance to God. Say it in the TPT. TPT. God, the searcher of the heart. And our destiny. You see that? And 28 says this. 28. So we are convinced that every detail of our life. You see how wonderfully he said, we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven. You know what it means to woven something? Like knit. Woven together to fit into God's perfect. When we pray, this is what happens. The good things we have done, the bad things that happened to us, the mistake, as we are praying, God is arranging it for our good. Somebody said you will not do this. Somebody said you will not get that. Somebody said he will destroy you. Somebody said, you know, when we bought our land, they say one of the guys there, he wanted an agent. He wanted to look for a way to sell lands for somebody behind. So he now lied to the man that it's not a church that bought a land. It's the pastor that bought the land. And that the pastor wants to build his residence, not a church. So that way the man now bought another land behind. We're aiming that land too, but you know, we didn't have the resources yet. So we bought just two. Hallelujah to Jesus. And one time the man saw us, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, go and write on the wall. We went down and wrote the proposed site for GCMI Church Auditorium. As the man was passing, he just saw it. He said, what? They told me it's not a church. I cannot be neighbors with the church. I said, you didn't ask me. They told me it's your house. I said, this land is too big for my house. And my church doesn't have a building yet. I can't build a house. He said, but that's what they told me. I said, well, you meet the people that told you that. I'm building church here. He said, pastor, please. I said, I don't understand. Pastor, will you not consider? I said, consider what? Pastor, please. I said, whether the devil rises, who built this church? In his please, you know, Satan can be saying, please, get behind me, Satan. I said, even if the devil rises, will build the church. He just walked with his friend and left me. Then the young man who lied to him came and said, pastor, I never knew it was a church. I said, you. He gave us a church plan. And now he's asking me that he doesn't know it's a church. I said, get out from here. And of course, some of the leaders came and wanted to chouse him out. Jerome came and stood like a lion and said, leave pastor's fraud before I raise you up and throw you into the gutters. And he was angry. He now went and called the person in charge of our land papers and told him that he should not register our land. That our land is for church, they should not register. The man now called me anymore. He said, who is that person that have impetus to call me that they should not register? Who is he? I said, describe me. When he described me, I laughed. I said, he's well. He said, he's mad. He was insulting the guy.
I said, no challenge, just don't mind him. He's a young man, he's still growing. So I just thought about some things. I said, I have some friends that if I call, they will beat this young man and break his head. And I have some people in Nasmi I can just call and say, they should call him to come and sell land. We'll just catch him around that bridge and do some things to him. And I'll just come out. I said, you are warned. When they removed the thing from his face, like Nigerian movie, and I said, if you do it again, I'll show you. I just thought about all the bad things. The Holy Spirit now said, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. I said, even if I waste tongues for this guy, he may die. I can't waste tongues because I don't know what the Spirit will just do in that tongues. You know, there's something called tongues of men and tongues of angels. Imagine I face that guy in my spirit. He makes me to waste 5 minutes on his head, his life. I just think about it and I do, Libro Hansa Vrahajuvra Hadiako. You may just hear that the guy has become epileptic. His life can be wasted. It's not a joke. You know, some people just go online. Man of God, idiot. Oh God. If a man of God think about you, look at your name, put it on a wall. You, Samson, Samson, Libra High, Samson. You call me big head, Reko Zahai. Zevro Zigaha Libra High. Brandis Kopara Takata. Samson, your own is finished. So forget all these men of God. Forget them. If they are really real, they should speak, let Tinubu die. Is it we that voted Tinubu? Huh? Who voted Tinubu? Even God wanted something not to work. Israelite forced themselves and made it. This is not the first time Tinubu was voted. Check the Bible. There was a king voted for Israel. It was, sorry, this was not the first time a president is voted for Nigeria. Check the Bible. There was a king voted for Israel. God told them, I don't want that king. They said, God, you must give us. It is his turn. You must give us. And God said, if you insist, they got it. Benue, for instance, voted APC. Nobody can say anything. Because they think voting a governor is the same as voting a president. They voted APC. So after you have voted, now you are suffering. You don't say, all these pastors are thieves. Look at, you voted in election. You are insulting pastors. Where is the connection? Most pastors were disciplined. They did not really talk about the election. And the few ones that spoke about it, most of them mentioned Labour Party. Am I saying the truth? You will hardly hear any pastor that came out as APC. So why are you forcing pastors? The first person that had leprosy in the Bible was a woman. Who caused it? An angel. An angel. It's not the devil. It was Moses' who? Blood sister. The one that put in pampers. Say, you were scared of Moses. Chief, let me talk. Moses, come here. I was talking to my wife yesterday. Some people, they know us for a long time. They want to call my name now. They say, Simon. Simon. Because they call you pastor. You know, one time my sister called me like that. She could be stubborn sometimes. Before she now encountered some things. She's so far looking for a job. So far. Then one day she just said, are you? I see testimony for your church. People are there. Me, I'm your sister now. Simon, I beg. I say, okay, look at now. You just saw Simon. Your name is not Simon. I said, when you know how to respect me, I will answer you. She missed me at the end. Pastor Simon, I said, okay, can I help you? I said, Pastor Simon, I'm looking for a job. I said, I'm aware. How can I get the job? I said, where do you want the job? I'm applying for so and so place. I say, you get it. He said, just like that. Pray for me now. I say, you get it. She went on, did everything. She got it. You know, because I know God wants to prove it to her. I know God wants to prove it to her more than even me. She's the one that said, so how much is my tithe now? How will I be sending my tithe? Because I explained to her.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Miriam, people were complaining, Moses' leadership is only one man army. One man. That's how God does it. Some of you come to church, you think church is MTN. Where there are board of trustees that come and sit down and say, the network should not go to this place, it should go to this place. Read your Bible. God never called any elders. He will speak to Moses and will say, Moses, go and gather the elders. Lay hands on them. Let them have the same spirit of wisdom that you have. What was hard in calling the elders to come and face him? He said, they can't face me. You go. It happens like that in scripture. Anytime he wants to do something, he will speak to Moses. Look at it, Peter too, the same way. Look at it to Paul. That's how God does it. Kingdom is different from democracy. As Moses was giving instruction, they were not happy. They said, only Moses, only Moses. People are the same everywhere. They rose up in anger, but they could not go. They were scared. And a lot of times, listen to me, people of God, when you observe that dishonor is happening in an assembly, somebody that is familiar with the pastor is the one that caused it. When people watch somebody who is close to a pastor misbehaving, they begin to misbehave. It was when Miriam said, I will go, that everybody was excited. Even Aaron, he followed, but he did not talk too much. He just escorted. If Miriam never moved, nobody would have moved. And when she moved, it cost her legs. Her legs went. Somebody said, that's Old Testament. The Bible said in Romans 5, he said, the thing written, some of them are for us to learn. That you are not seeing people physically having leprosy today does not mean it does not happen in the spirit. Do you know how many people have spiritual leprosy? They are just crumbling in one place. Why? Because they spoke against God's anointed. Now Nigeria, every man of God is useless to them. Any small thing on Facebook. In fact, this morning, do you know the video I saw? Five foolish pastors in Nigeria. The most five foolish pastors. Number one, he mentioned the name. Number two, he mentioned the name. Down to Padeboye. Padeboye was the number one five foolish pastor to the man. Such a man is wasted but working. When God said, touch not my anointed, you think that scripture is for some people? He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Read the book of Genesis. See what happened with the children of Israel. Look at what it took God to remove Moses. God wanted to save an entire nation. He was looking for one man. One man. One man. He couldn't even find a man from them that are there as slaves. It was a man different from them. He now found Moses. Then you now wake up one morning and say, nyan, 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 Moses. You think God will not say, well done. Hallelujah to Jesus. You must be wise. If we stand up as men of God and want to be facing people one by one, people will be dying in this country. It's the truth. Read your Bible and see. Do you know even Paul cursed a man? Do you know Paul did something in scripture? He cursed a man. Do you know that? Oh, you never read. And of course, it was out of anger. That's why the Bible says, the anger of man never reveals the righteousness of God. It does not. So be wise. Don't be like all these foolish people insulting men of God everywhere. We know some people are misbehaving, but you don't have the right. So like I was saying, some people will look at pastors and call them by their name. Even if you know somebody from the basis, if he's anointed, call the pastor. Never call him by his first name. You say, but are they taking the title on their head? If you think the title is nothing, why not call them with the title? It is because you have pride. You are feeling like you are too big to call the person by the title. That's why you call him by his name. I've seen people like that. Yesterday I was talking with my wife and I was telling her, some people behave like that. They don't even feel you are worthy to be a pastor. I had one friend like that. He saw one of my pastors. He said, he called the pastor by his first name. When the pastor left, I said, never do that again. Say, prophet, I said, if you ever do that, you will leave this house. He knows me. One time I now drove him away. I told him to his face and drove him. He started asking one of my pastors out. I called him to my house. When he came, I said, you are asking Zobes your house. He said, pastor, I'm just seeing what I can work. I said, leave this house now and never call me. Are you hearing me? He left. Some have come here, they sat here, they thought now, they sit here now. Every girl now is supposed to be a wife. I heard of one that came and sat here, then he went to school and told him, I'm prophet's friend. I like you. I said when he comes, they should take him to back seats. So it happens like that, but you don't have the right to dishonor people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Glory to God forevermore. Have you been blessed? It's the truth. So if we want to see the great harvest happen, one of the ways is to obey the leadership of the Spirit. The Bible says, as long as Moses' hands were up, the church kept on prospering. If, for instance, pastor say, bring 100 people to church, and all of you here are indebted, you make sure, you are fighting to make sure that happens from the leadership to everybody. You are praying about it. You know, it's not my job now to pray about it. I've told you, bring 100. You are now working out that reality from the HODs. You are showing them from the leadership, this is my 50. How about you? Do you know that in less than 2 months, we will not be able to be here again? And listen, in the people with the resources come, Jesus said, go to the mouth of the fish. Then he said, I'll make you fishers of men. In other words, as you win the souls, the resources to manage the souls will come from the souls. It's the truth. If we have a church of 2,000, the resources will be more increased. We'll be able to do bigger things. That doesn't mean we're going for them because of the resources. But I'm showing you that as you increase, everything you want is in the increase. Say, Pastor, if we have a church of 2,000, where would they stay? You'll be amazed. Let's get there. You see it. Of course, focally, it is not for the number. It is for the transformation. We want to come to a point that nobody is admiring Satan again. Everybody is following Jesus. Are you listening to me? And you must make up your mind with your emotions, your time, and your resources. Say, Pastor, I love the work of God, but I'm waiting for one money like that. There's one money I'm waiting for. You don't start from a big money. Start from where you are. Jesus will always ask, what do you have? You know, one time somebody came to my office, and while we were speaking, I said, you see, these things that happen, people will think I get money somewhere. Some people say, they say people sponsor me somewhere. I said, nobody sponsors me. It's only God that sponsors me through the people he has given us. I said, we have plans in this church, and most of the things you see happen in this church are done by these young people you are seeing. He was shocked. It's not done by anybody outside there. It's done by everybody you are seeing here. He was like, really? I said, yes. Are you amazed? I said, if I tell you what people give, you'll be amazed. And it really happens. So I said to him, don't wait for one big, if you want to partake, partake. He said, oh, Pastor, they cannot be giving this and I'll be giving that. I said, give. It's not pride. Give from where you are. Don't wait till you get to 1 point. He that is faithful in little is what? Faithful in plenty. If this must work, we must sacrifice to God our time. We must have time for the things of God. You must have time for your departmental meetings. Are you listening to me? Emotional sacrifice. Somebody offends you does not mean you should leave church. Where will you find bad people? If you find bad people in church, it is justified. When you go to hospital and don't see sick people there, is that hospital? Church is spiritual hospital. You must find bad people in church. And that's why we are pastors. I think Dr. Carey is giving an example with the ark. If you look at the ark, for instance, there was all kind of things in the ark. You see human beings and animals in the ark. It means the ark was probably smelling. Imagine there was busuru, he-goat, in the ark. Male he-goat and female he-goat. Somebody now said there was a toilet for them. No. They were just ark. Imagine the cow wants to poo-poo. He now says, Noah, please, where's the toilet for cows? They poo-pooed in the ark. And human beings were around the poo-poo. In fact, I'm sure some of them clean the poo-poo so that they can sleep well. Yet, nobody complains. I'm leaving the ark. The ark is a type of Christ, a type of the church. You come to the church, you see a lot of messy things in the church. Pastor, in your church, one girl, she can't get belle. I don't go come that church. Go the one where they know they get belle. Am I proud that somebody became pregnant in church? No. But will I drive somebody for becoming pregnant in church? Never. Where will she go to, Mox? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That so-and-so person was caught doing this in church. He should come to church. The church is for everybody. Except you don't want to change. There was a case one time, I know people were saying, they were judging me. I heard what kind of nonsense out there, that I drove somebody who was gay in church. Firstly, I've never asked anybody if you are gay in church. It is when you show yourself and show it too much and show it in a way that it has become a system. If not, if you even show that you are a gay, I will not drive you from church. You come and you walk like this, I'll just preach against you with style. But I'll not drive you from church. Imagine you see somebody come like this. They say, will you get out from this church, you gay? No. Where will he be changed from? Is it not church? But that one, he came to church. He was not looking to recruit gay members in church. Oh God, you will be beaten. So that one, my pastors caught him, and I will not lie, they beat him up. See, Pastor Simon, when you beat somebody in church, hey, you are a sinner. And we beat him all. We beat him the way Jesus beat people in church too. Oh my God. There's nothing new under the sun. We and Jesus did the same sin. The only thing is that the first one was Jesus' own and the second one is our own. So when we beat the guy, we now took him to police station. I was trying to protect the guy from being beaten by my pastor. They hit me on my head. See, now that pain, I took his infirmity. The pain is still there. When he now left, people died. I heard all kind of stupid statements. Prophet, a woman of God. I was just shaking my head. I'd had an idea that he was gay. I didn't drive him. It was when he now foolishly acted like that, that I drove him from church. And he was working for a system in this Makodi, a useless NGO, saying that they are for against child abuse. That's not the first time I heard something about them. We are coming for them. We'll close them down soon. Another time I heard a lady walking there. The boss called the lady. In my office, they told me. The boss called the lady and slept with the lady. She had never slept with a man before. He was the first to sleep with her. And he's for child abuse. I mean, he's against child abuse. I heard the story. The reason I didn't go there is because she acted foolishly. Somebody invited you to a hotel. You don't use your head. Do they give job in hotel? Where do they apply for job in hotel? So I couldn't go and start disgracing myself because she acted foolishly. Hallelujah to Jesus. Wise up, don't be foolish. And some people say, okay, Pastor Sam, are you permitting us now to be misbehaving in church? I am not. You can't be a Christian and be misbehaving. You receive all grace for life and what? Godliness. If you see most people misbehaving, they don't just want to wake up. When I was a child, I behaved like a child. But when I grew up, I left childish ways. They don't want to wake up. Some of them will realize this at 30. It will be too late. Know it now. Are you listening to me? Know it now. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Bow your heads and pray. We are really out of time. Thank the Lord for His word. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for your word. Now speak concerning the great harvest. Speak concerning the great harvest. Say, Lord, I am a tool for the great harvest. I am your tool for the great harvest. You will use me emotionally, time-wise, money-wise. You use me to advance your kingdom. Pray for the great harvest. You said in your word, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Lord, thank you because I am part of the laborers tonight. The same Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. Thank you, Lord. As I receive being registered as a laborer, I'll be faithful in my time, my emotion, and my finances. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm committed to the advancement of your kingdom, the advancement of your work. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pray from the depth of your heart. Every one of you, pray. I'm not just going to be a Sunday comer in church. I'll be dedicated beyond Sunday. I'll find a place and be responsible in church. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll find a place to be active and useful in your work. Just like you said in Exodus 36, you gave wisdom to certain people to build the Ark of the Covenant. Lord, I'm discovering my place in the advancement of your kingdom tonight. I'm discovering my place. And if you don't know, you pray, Lord, cause me to see what you want me to do.
Cause me to see how you want me to be helpful in the advancement of your work. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I feel like saying this. You are one person here. You had spoken against the Lord's anointed on all social media platforms. And tonight you are saying, Lord, I've realized that I was wrong. Go ahead and repent in your heart quietly. Repent in your heart quietly. There is no karma when somebody repents. I will touch not the anointed. I'll do your prophets no harm. Now finally speak to Makodi and command men to begin to come and cause the house of God to be increased. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in our city Makodi, you are bringing men from every part of the city. Young men, old men, young women, old women. Lord, in the name of Jesus, wherever they are, let your spirit begin to convict them. As we go to them, by your finished work on Calvary, you've drawn all men. As we go to them, the harvest is easy. The harvest is easy. We speak them to church. We compel them with the anakazo fire. It's easy, Lord Jesus, as we speak about your name to them. They are repented. They are receiving your life. Go ahead and pray. Pray fervently. Pray. Pray. Beginning from my family, Lord. Charity begins at home. You will touch from my family to my neighborhood, from my family to my neighbor, to the whole city. Go ahead and pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, precious Jesus. In Jesus' gracious name, we pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.